RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Hello and welcome back to Racing Pulse. We've got a special hour for you out there, punters. So get your black books, get your pens ready, because we've got the best in the business. And for the next hour, we are going to have a spring form focus forum where we look at the major races and the horses at this point in time we should be putting a little asterisk next to. We're also going to find out from the best form analysts in the business how they do their form coming into spring. The good horses returning versus those who are fit. The two-year-olds turning into three-year-olds. Who makes the best progression? Sydney v Melbourne. We'll discuss it all. And we want your questions. You can ask the gurus anything you want. 0416 90 50 52. And it is a great welcome into RSN 927's number one tipping machine. Dean Lester, how are you, Dino?
I'm well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for the introduction. Good to be here.
It's an exciting time, and the Lawrence this weekend just gives us the first taste. The entries that we see, this time each and every year, the old JJ list, and this is almost the unofficial start of spring, isn't it, Dean?
Yeah, it certainly is, Michael. It's probably changed in its dynamics since its move from Sandown to Caulfield. It was a great race for the stayers to really rip down the outside at Sandown on the long straight, but Caulfield a little bit different. But, yeah, as you said, it's the unofficial start of spring. And we get to see those two-year-olds become early season three-year-olds in the Quizette and the Vane.
Absolutely. And David Gately joins us as well, tipster extraordinaire with racing.com. And Gator, you also keep an eye on Sydney form. You follow the Sydney form as strongly as you do the Melbourne form. And that is always a quandary for punters when we come to the Spring Carnival in Melbourne, is weighing up the Sydney v Melbourne. How are you, Gator?
I'm well, thanks for asking. I didn't get the number one spot there, Bindino, but no, it's great to be here. Yeah, look, it's interesting, isn't it? I think in the last couple of years, I think we'd all probably agree that the elite talent in Sydney probably has us covered, but it is a challenge for a lot of them to, A, get to, you know, travel the 800 kilometres. Some of them get around Caulfield, some don't. So there's other factors, you know, other than just being, you know, the best athlete.
Well, it's 25 years since Vintage Crop won the Melbourne Cup, and since then the internationals have added another layer of intrigue, and it has been getting even more difficult for punters in recent years. We saw Charlie Appleby in the last couple of seasons take all before him. He's coming out with an early invasion this year, and this year promises to be the most international horses we've ever seen compete at a spring carnival. So we've got our international man of mystery, Mick Sharkey, who is across all form from the Europeans and the Japanese, join us in studio. How are you, Mick?
Man of mystery, I like that. I enjoy that. Enjoy the mysterious, Michael.
We
yes,
need
I'm
you
well.
To lift the fog on all of the internationals. Is this the strongest batch of internationals potentially we will have seen out here?
Yeah, potentially. We don't know what exactly is coming yet. It's all well and good. You know, and at this time here, before we've got nominations for the Cups, everyone's trying to drum up the hype. Oh, this horse is coming, that horse is coming, this horse is coming. But we actually don't know what's been nominated yet, so let's just be a little bit cautious. But certainly the reappearance of a large group of Japanese horses, both imported and touring parties, will add a lot of depth. And I think the key from Europe is Godolphin. Mm. We've seen them bring a swarm of horses in the last few years and just, you know, play around the edges a little bit. I think the potential group of horses they're bringing this year are not only the most likely to perhaps win a cup, but they're all on an upward scale. There's progression there, rather than bringing older horses that are probably well exposed.
Before we drill down into individual races, individual horses, I want to have a broad look at how all of you guys attack the form heading into the Spring Carnival. And internationals is for most punters, the everyday punter, the most confusing aspect. Dino, how do you tackle the internationals during the spring?
Oh, I take a lot of notice of what those that see them firsthand say about them. They don't come onto the radar for me until they've got on the plane, because I just don't have enough time to be sort of speculating. And, you know, I think as punters, we'd like to see them have a run here, but that's not to say that they, as we saw last year, they can't win first go with Rekindling. I think the Caulfield Cup's a more achievable race first up, but it's a very much case-by-case study there.
Do you find yourself more inclined to stick local, or can you get a good grasp of the form internationally if it is a runner like a Rekindling having its first start in Australia?
Well, with the, every year we're getting more and more links to the form because the local trainers are buying international horses at a lower standard and coming through, and you can actually tie them in from earlier in their careers. So there's more and more form lines that we can actually associate with. So that's the one thing with the internationalisation of year-round racing in Victoria and Australia, that we see those form lines exposed that for the horses that do raid for the big races.
Money speaks all languages, and Nick Quinn from the Tab joins us in the studio as well. Quinny, have you seen in recent years that the money is getting smarter for these internationals?
There's no doubt that punters are becoming more aware of the fact they're going to be dominant factors, and it's nice if you can get some of the big odds available early doors if you know a horse is going well and is going to come, and we've seen some speculative bets early doors, but I dare say it does also add another element to pre-post punting that makes it even more challenging.
Gator, you are an assiduous form student here in Australia. What's your form regime for overseas horses?
Yeah, pretty similar to what Dino said, I think. Yeah, we can layer the form, sure, but and that's getting, you know, it's like scaffolding. We're getting a bit more each year, aren't we? I guess the great challenge for us mere mortals is how they settle in and acclimatise to a different hemisphere, a lot of them. It is a great challenge for us to ascertain until we actually see them race. Now, you know, if they're racing first up in the features, there's a bit of guesswork involved, unfortunately, but it's another art to the great game.
Dino, for you, heading into spring, what's the number one query for you? Is it the good horses coming back up against the fit horses, or is it how horses will improve from their 3 to 4? What's the area that you look at most heading into spring?
All of the above. And the spring, I think, is harder to get a gauge on because they've had to have wintered, and that's where going to see them at the races, you'll actually see horses that have wintered well and spelled well, improved, and some that haven't come through quite as well. So it's an important time, whereas the horses that spell after spring going into the summer and then the autumn campaigns, most of them, you know, have a good time of it and hit form pretty quickly, where it's often a case of waiting for horses to find form if they do it all over spring. So it's a different time of year as opposed to the summer autumn period.
Traditionally, the early part of spring when the good horses are coming back, is that a tread warily time, or is this a time where you can actually find the class will prevail?
No, I think if you've got a firm opinion on one that's, you know, you think might jump out of the ground, and a lot of horses go around, especially in the early three-year-old races that have exposed stakes form, but it may be a bit shallow, whereas a horse might come through an off-season race that's really strong, and that's where you get your value, because they don't have the credentials on paper as such, but if you drill down through their form, that they've got very good credentials, whether it be on the clock or what they've subsequently beaten.
Have you seen in recent years as well that the horses, and Sharky, I'll bring you in here as well, that racing throughout the winter and also provincial midweek are able to make that step up into early spring grade?
Oh, no doubt. And I think, you know, go back as far as, you know, say 10 years ago, and in the off-season we saw a horse like Denman who just wasn't quite ready for the absolute elite as a two-year-old, but came through Kilmore, then to Flemington and Sandown, then on his way through to the Golden Rose and then the Guineas. So, you know, they can sort of come from anywhere, and I think trainers are even more aware of it, that you just, if you, you know, don't push them as two-year-olds and they don't quite make it, there's still great opportunities as they develop.
Yeah, some good examples there that Dean's raised. And you think about horses like, you know, Merchant Navy that raced into the late autumn and then had a little let up. Even the other one,
we had Long John.
Royal Symphony, Long John, you know, those sort of horses that are skirting the packs a little bit, and then they lob up in the spring. The balancing act for the trainers with those sort of horses that do push on into the winter is, where do we give them that little bit of a breather before we regroup and go again against stronger company? It's a tricky thing to do, particularly with a slow-maturing young horse that is still growing, still developing, and may need that little bit more time. It's just another thing to try and get your head around, and as Dean said before, going and seeing the horses at the races just gives you an enormous advantage, particularly if you want to get to the track early in the carnival, say this Saturday at Caulfield, because you've got the Vane, the Quizette, the Lawrence, and you can gauge the fitness as you follow them, you know, week to week as these horses step out. It's a for me, it's a must, particularly in the spring.
One of the most exciting parts of the spring for me is the three-year-olds, the new three-year-olds, the two-year-olds turning three. And as Dino said, we'll get to see them in action on Saturday at Caulfield. Gator, always intriguing, the Sydney form v Melbourne form. How do you see it playing out this spring?
Well, I think, look, I think the best analogy is, we've all seen the dominant under-18 footballer steps into, open grey against the older athletes, and some measure up and some don't. So I think that's where, that's the best analogy I've got for the young horses coming through. As from two to three, well, it's a not dissimilar scenario in that who's matured and developed over that grey is probably the one that's going to improve sharpest, if you like,
Well, let's have a look at a few races. The Caulfield Guineas, 1,000 guineas are the highlights for the three-year-olds here in Victoria. And Quinny, we've got that traditional Sydney v Melbourne battle at the top of the markets as well. Who are the early favourites in the Caulfield Guineas?
Well, the Caulfield Guineas, there's certainly a Sydney theme as well. The Autumn Sun was posted a $15 favourite to win that race. Now heads the market there, still at 15 with Brutal, who's been popular. Brutal's been $18 into 15. There's been money for Charge, who's been 100-1 into 26. There's been money for Native Soldier, who's been 51 into 26. Support for Fighting Harada, 100-1 into 51, with a bit of 1,000 each way at the 100-1. And Irish County's been firm from 200-1 into 51. Others pretty prominent in the market, Bondi and Uhud, both at $18, with Performer and Seabrook.
This is a perfect example, Gator. How do you try and line up the Autumn Sun, who's looked magnificent and done it at the top level in Brisbane, up against the potential of a horse like Brutal?
Oh, with great difficulty. What we do know is, from limited sample size, that Brutal has managed to do what no other young two-year-old in Victoria in recent months has been able to do, and that's run, well, except for Miltaja and those girls the other Saturday week, is run quicker time than seasoned older males and older horses. And look, he rated through the roof with a terrific win. So he looks smart. I can see why, if I was a bookie, I would be very, very wary. The Autumn Sun, well, there's a precedent with this stable and those horses competing at the elite level in Queensland and coming out and being highly competitive, Zoustar and Co. So I've got a feeling that using precedent, that they sort of know what they're doing. And look, on the clock, I've already mentioned Brutal, but the Autumn Sun as well looks exceptional. There'll be another 10 who aren't mentioned there that'll probably leapfrog the Fighting Haradas of this world in the next few weeks.
What's your take on those at the top of the market, Dino?
Well, Michael, you look at the five group ones for the two-year-olds last year. Three were won by fillies. The two males were written by. We know he's on a path to the Coolmore Stud Stakes and the Autumn Sun. So I think he's your starting point. And to me, he's sort of got a similar profile to Press Statement, who did win a Caulfield Guineas. But, gee, there's a bunch of very nice horses that say, from Brutal. I think a horse like Fighting Harada, I think as he gets over further, even though he's beaten at the Sunday meeting recently, wouldn't be surprised if he jumped out of the ground and did something pretty special. Off-season horses like Leonardo da Vinci, Marcel from Madrid, a couple of that I'm interested in seeing where they go, and another Hawks horse, might be more a Derby horse, called Irukandji. Thought he trialled well in Sydney recently, and I've always had a lot of time for him. He was just behind them in the Champagne Stakes. So, I think the market's right with the Autumn Sun being the starting point, but it'll be those that close in from different form lines in the next few weeks that we'll be really interested in.
How do you rate the Colts v the fillies, the Colts and Geldings? Because we see Seabrook's an $18 chance. From the two to three, where do you see the more strength line?
Well, it's a good point. And the other really good point about that is that the guineas, both the Caulfield Guineas and the Thousands Guineas, run on the same day, and one's worth four times more money. So if the fillies think they can beat the Colts, they're going to be very well rewarded. It might be, we saw it last year with Catchy running well in the guineas, and it might be a more recurring theme that a really good filly will take on the Colts because of that price prize money discrepancy.
Sharky, I'll ask you and Gator, who do you think is going to be the dominant sex?
Look, I wouldn't write off the boys yet, because I think there are some really classy males there that Probably weren't bred to be early two-year-olds. We're talking about the Autumn Sun. That's definitely one of them. The other standout for me from that group class form line is Al Merton, who, although he was 10th when we last saw him in the slipper, he's winning the Todman and at Canterbury before that, were very, very strong, and he is bred to just excel over more ground as a three-year-old. So I think the boys can make up some ground on the fillies this season.
What price is Al Merton, Quinny, in the Caulfield Guineas? I think he's a $26 pop.
$26 at the moment, Michael.
And we've also got the other fairly well in contention, Uhud Gator. Have you got any early indication as to who you think is going to be the dominance?
Girls, it's just a running theory of mine in the last few years, and it seems to be working, that they tend to come up in the early part of the spring quicker, and then in the autumn the boys all catch them up and run past them, except for Hyam and Co. of the fillies group last year, who were exceptional. And I guess the evidence is on the wall. Very small sample size the other week with Maltaja and those girls. Just absolutely rating through the roof compared to the boys. So it doesn't look like very early doors that there's any reason to go away from the last couple of seasons at this stage, with the possible odd spike exception. You know, who that male is, I don't know.
How do you try to compare an Anjana up against the likes of Uhud and Seabrook?
You can only look at the clock, can't you? I mean, and look, and benchmark speaks fantastic if you want to sound smart. But the reality is that on the day, she's racing very well times compared to older horses. So for me, she looks the real deal.
And for you, Dino, I'll throw in Multaja, who we I think we'll get to see again on Saturday, who looks so impressive at the Valley last start.
Yeah, I don't know where the ceiling is on her. I think she's outstanding. And those fillies, like she was dominant at Moonee Valley, and those fillies behind her won't be able to beat her. Judging her appearance in the yard, she'll improve a lot off that. So she's one of the more exciting ones going around.
Quinny, what's the market in the 1,000 guineas, and who's been best backed?
Well, the best backed runner is Multaja, who's been 26 into 17 and is currently the tab's biggest liability on the race. Uhud, a $13 joint favourite with Seabrook. Anjana at 17. Sunlight at 17. There's been support for Miss Fabulous, 100-1 into 26. There's also been a little bit of support at very big odds for Tahitian Dancer, 100-1 into 51. But Multaja, the best backed runner at this very early stage in the 1,000 guineas.
It's good to hear there's some support for Miss Fabulous. I tend to think, and the 1,000 guineas race, personally, I've had a little bit of luck in the past and try to find something a little bit out of the ordinary that might improve. I think she could be the best classic-style filly in the country, Miss Fabulous. And she's down to run at Canterbury tomorrow, but she's also nominated for Saturday, so interesting to see which way she goes. But her debut run at Rose Hill back in February was brilliant, behind a good one in Christabel. She's tried well either side of that. Gosford trial about a week and a half ago was very, very good. She's bred to be very, very good, Frankel, out of Samantha Miss. And she's a filly that I think will make her presence felt very early and will end up at the head of most of these female markets.
What do you think about that, Gator?
No, I like her. Yeah, I'm liking the trials. Debut was terrific. She's very exciting. I think, if she was by Mr. Ed out of Jackie, I think there'd be less fruit. But that's fine. It's exciting, and as I say, I thought the trial was brilliant. Yeah,
there's an interesting runner today. Aristocratic Risk goes around today, and there's a 50 to 1 shot for the 1,000 guineas. So, Dino, that just highlights what we're talking about this the midweek off season form still playing a part.
Yeah, well, she had good competitive run in the Blue Diamond, and then Group 3 placed in Sydney. So she's should be going around today and winning and building into her spring.
And I can confirm you will see Miss Fabulous tomorrow, Sharky. I'm not sure if we've got any early markets up, Quinny. I'll get you to have a look at that while I read out a couple of SMSs. But Chris Lees has confirmed she will be racing tomorrow. SMSs are flying in. Keep them coming. You can ask the gents anything you like. 0416 90 50 52. Got a question here. I'd like to know the boys' thoughts on Humidor for the Cox Plate. Currently $26. Winx is $1.50. Seems great overs after only being beaten half a length. That's from the form doctor. Gator, I'll start with you.
All things being equal, he'll never beat Winx home in a horse race. If they could play darts or something, maybe he'd be a chance. He certainly had everything in his favour last year. He had the perfect drag on her and couldn't run past her. you know, there isn't an athlete in the history of the universe that's been able to be up forever. So there's that query, I guess, on Winks. But I'm not convinced he's got any more upside in him either. So, look, if she's there in a few internationals, I'd be surprised if he won the race. I think he'll run very well in it, though.
Is $1.50 almost value, Dino?
I don't know about that, Michael. She's got to get there, but it might be. She won't be that on the day, I could imagine, if she's there. So, look, I agree with what Gator says about Humidor. The one thing I would say is that was his only run at Moonee Valley, and he obviously really relished that that surface, but he had the best run of all time and couldn't beat her last year.
Sharky?
He had 7 runs last spring and ended up in a Melbourne Cup, which, you know, he probably didn't run the trip. Just in the autumn, I know he won the Blamey, but maybe just that length just off where he really was at his best last spring. Just wonder that busy spring last year if it took its toll a little bit. I'm keen to see him when he steps out first and second up and get a bit of a better idea of how he's returned.
Something's got to run second and third. Currently $6 for Humidor to run a place in the race. And just with Miss Fabulous tomorrow has been very well backed already. $2.30 into an odds on quote of $1.90 to win race number one with Kieran McAvoy in the saddle.
All right, got another question, Dino. I'll throw this one to you. Can you overdo the data when doing form? And which bit of data do you value the most? That's from Mike in North Melbourne.
I like strength in horses, sustained strength. That's the thing I like because, you know, they can all, you know, do a very quick 400 metres off an even gallop. But something that shows sustained strength over a period of a good gallop is what I look for.
What about you, Gator?
Yeah, no, it's a race, so you're going to need to be fast at some point of it if you want to be good at the elite level. And what you'll find is, if you watch a 5,000-metre run for us humans, those that sustain speed for longer are better.
What do you do data-wise?
Very well said, isn't it?
Well, I like, you know what I love about Gator? He breaks everything down to the most simplest terms, which is, he's like the Lee Matthews of form talk.
Yeah, look, again, looking at the sectional stuff, I probably don't do it to the depth that Gator probably does. I know that's right up his street, but sort of along the same lines as what Dean's saying, you want sustained speed rather than something that can just go bang and zip up. And, you know, as a younger punter, I probably got too caught up in, I ran the fastest last 200 of the race, you know. And I think across media sometimes that is still pushed very strongly as some standout performance when, you know, a horse that covers ground and runs a very good last 600 is probably a better winning chance next time with a better run. But that's just my view on the sectionals.
You agree, Dino?
Yep, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And you can get caught up in the flashing light run. Those that can grind it out and be strong and tough are, percentage-wise, are good betting options.
Keep those questions. Yep, go, Gator.
I was going to say the asterisk on that is, I mean, going back through the last decade or so, I copped a bit of stick early for highlighting late sectionals. And it's funny, it's amazing how many of those horses ended up Group 1 winners. Mm. You know, the likes of the Lose, Politeness. There's a list of 1,000 clearly innocent who come out and win Group 1s at a good price. So I think it's got merit still, just how you weigh it up relative to the race and the day. Yeah.
And very few feature races, and that's what we're talking about, are won from the front. It's that midfield strong run or the blinding sectional. So the elite races are a lot different to the day-to-day percentage races.
Is that because there's higher pressure in those elite races?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
Keep those questions coming through. There'll be more that I will ask after the break. You're listening to a special hour, a spring form focus. We're going to have a look at the Cox Plate and the Cups after this. But as we go to a break, tonight on racing.com at 9 o'clock, you will not want to miss a special on Wells. When we talk of star gallopers, Wells will be heading towards attempting to win his 4th consecutive Grand National Steeple on Sunday. And Sam Dorham has put together a special. Here's a snippet of what you'll see tonight from 9 o'clock.
He's sound, he's tough, and he's relentless.
The job they've done on this horse to keep him coming back every year is unbelievable.
I can't understand why everyone wants to compare horses all the time. Just accept the good ones when they're there.
Wells and over the yardarm in an epic duel. Wells is a champion jumper.
And it was like you willed him over the line. Look, if he could have picked him up and chucked him, he would have.
He's definitely the best jumper we've had.
Racing Pulse on RSN 927.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse. This is a special edition, a spring form forum. We've got Dean Lester, we've got David Gately, we've got Mick Sharkey and also Nick Quinn from The Tab. And we've got some breaking news which has come through this morning in regards to the Spring Carnival. Unfortunately, the Golden Slipper winner Esther Jarb is out for the spring. Mick, there's an alert that was sent out on Racing New South Wales. You've got it there. What's it
Yeah,
say?
It just simply says Hawks Racing has informed Racing New South Wales stewards that she won't be contesting the Spring Carnival. But seems to have a minor issue, but there's no no further detail at this point, so hopefully it's nothing serious. We don't want to see a Golden Slipper winner on the sidelines for too long.
No, that is no good at all. So you can take that out of the market. What price was she market in market? Was she Quinny in the major markets, the Golden Rose especially?
Yeah, she was very prominent in the Golden Rose at $7. The Autumn Sun heads that market at $6, Brutal an $11 chance with Performer.
All right, I've got a question coming through here for you guys. More Sundays. Any thoughts about this Nag? It was a very good run, I note, and it's in the Cox Plate at 200-1 and $26 in the Golden Rose. That's from Daniel. Gator and Dean, what are your thoughts on that, Dino?
It was a neat win on debut. He'll be aimed up at something good for the three-year-olds, I'd imagine, and see if he's good enough, but he couldn't do more than he did on debut.
Yeah, no, I haven't assessed the run on the clock, but to the eye, terrific. Huge gaps behind. Generally, backs up that you're well above average, yeah.
All right, we've spoken about Winx in the Cox Plate, but I want to ask you about Grunt. We get to see Grunt resuming on Saturday in the Lawrence, and I see you've already got a market up in the Lawrence. What price is the Lawrence on Saturday? Is Grunt the early favourite?
Grunt is the early favourite. Hartnell's been the best backed runner after he won the race last year. Grunt currently at $4.60. Hartnell was posted at $6. That's been snapped up. He's now into $5. Voodoo Lad at $6. Blackheart Bart, $8. Dan and Liberty has been 11 into 8. Humidor at 10 with Mighty Boss. And Kings Will Dream 15 into 13.
There's a huge boom on Grunt, Sharkey. How good do you think he is?
I think he's potentially very good, and I think he'll be better again as a spring four-year-old. I don't know if he'll be screwed right down to win first up. He may well just have a better turn of foot than his rivals, but yeah, he's one of those horses that you just have to really pay close attention to in the first few runs, because potentially I think he's got the acceleration and the class to end up in a race like a Cox Plate and run really well.
Dino, is the Spruik almost bigger than the horse at the moment? I'm surprised he's a $4.60 favourite in the Lawrence on Saturday in the early market when he's first up, and he's a $26 chance in the Cox Plate. How's your assessment of Grunt?
I think he's a beauty. I thought his trial was terrific, and he can't do much more than he's done thus far. I wouldn't say he couldn't win on Saturday, but you'd think a race like the Maccabi Diva or one of those on the way through to ultimately having the ultimate challenge of a Cox Plate would be his path, and he's the horse I'm most looking forward to seeing this spring emerge and see where he fits in.
Early thoughts, 460 in the Lawrence?
No, I'll only have to wait one more day and there's a barrier draw, Michael. So.
Can I ask Dino a question there, because you've pricked my ears. When you say he's the horse you're looking forward to seeing this campaign, do you do something speculative with him, or you just want to see how it pans out?
No, well, I don't know, what you could back him in to win speculatively, but I want to see how close he gets to a horse like Winx. What price is he the place to run the place in the Cox Plate?
Yeah, currently Nick. $6.
Well, that might interest me a little bit.
$6 a place, Grunt. When will you get a fave out market up?
ASAP if you want.
Yeah, well, that'd be great if we can get that organised. Gator, where do you sit with Grunt?
No, I'm a believer. I was with him both runs last prep. He probably should be unbeaten. If he didn't miss the start on debut, he'd probably beat Aloysia in that maiden. All reports have come on and the trial looked to be just that. So he and his stablemate, Hyam, and Unforgotten, those sort of new season four-year-olds, excite me. It's a great thing. It's a good part time of the year when you're actually looking forward to Monday and doing the videos.
Shark, in the Cox Plate, D'Argento, Grunt, Humidor, Kemantari, all $26.
Mm.
Would you be backing Grunt out of those?
Or D'Argento. I thought his trial the other day was... I know everyone was eyes on Winks and raving about Winks. He was very, very good in that trial. And he's a serious talent, already a Group 1 winner. I think he's another horse that will improve into his four-year-old season. I think he can really emerge as, you know, maybe not a horse to beat Winks in the Cox Plate this year, but a horse that we can follow as a wait-for-age performer for the next 12 or 18 months. Very, very good horse.
All right. Well, that's a quick look at the Cox Plate. Let's have a look at the Caulfield Cup market. Quinny, tell us who the favourites are and who have been the best back runners.
Well, the Caulfield Cup has been a fascinating betting race where Kingswell Dream has been popular. It was 100-1 initially and now heads the market at 850. Obviously, with those fluctuations, is a decent liability with Tab. There's been some movers at the top. Ace High was $35 early doors, now a $15 equals second elite with Emotionless. Now, Emotionless was $51 a fortnight ago, did win nicely overseas, one bet of 500 each way at the 51, has firmed throughout the last fortnight into 15. Boom Time, the defending champion, at $18. High Arm was 100-1 early doors, now an $18 chance. Unforgotten's been 35 into 21. And Jamar's been a firmer as well, 101 into 26. But Kingswell Dream has been the most popular runner early doors for the Caulfield Cup.
Dino, we've got a couple of the locals that head the market. Kingswell Dream, we know he's got the ticket in. Ace High almost won the two derbies. And then we got the defending champ Boom Time on the third line of betting at $18. How do you see the local brigade in the Caulfield Cup this year?
Yeah, I had all those names written down, Michael, but also might be a good year for the four-year-old mares if High Arm and Unforgotten go down that path, even to a lesser extent Young Star. And a horse that I thought should have nearly won it last year and just had a mixed preparation, Lord Fandango. He's a dry tracker. He got on wet tracks in Sydney. They put blinkers on him second up, and I think it disrupted his campaign. He could be a horse that could really bounce back this spring.
He's $34. What about you, Gator? From a Caulfield Cup perspective, I'll ask you from the locals. Who do you think are the major players? Is the market right?
Look, I think the new season four-year-olds are very exciting. I've touched on them already. High Arm and Unforgotten. Look, I think I wish Unforgotten trial better the other day, but I'm not throwing the whole thing out just yet. Their Oaks win was exceptional on the clock. We talk about sustained speed, and that was elite sort of territory. Right up there with Bonneval, who came out, you know, came up as a four-year-old mare and measured up really well too. She went a mid. So there's no reason to think they won't be highly competitive. Those top-end girls, yep.
How did Yerida Villiers' first start in Australia?
Enormous.
Oh. Yeah, Villiers, that one first up for Godolphin.
Oh, a fabulous win. I mean, the sectionals were outstanding. I know it was a fast day, but even relative to the day, there were a couple of sub-11s in their home and was eased up late. It was nothing short of outstanding.
If he stays fit, there's your Metrop winner.
Well, I was going to say, this is where you come in here, because how do you compare a horse like Avilius, who does what he did on debut here, to against a horse like Emotionless, who's high up in the market, and other internationals that might be coming out to race in the Cup?
Avilius had better form in Europe. He was chasing Cracksman home, and Cracksman, when he's not thinking about the girls, is probably the best mile-and-a-half horse in, or male, at least, in Europe. So the form was there to say Avilius is going to be a really classy horse out here. If he keeps progressing the way he is, like, the Metrop's not far away. I still think out of the early markets, he's probably one of the better bets that you could have.
Is he, Quinny, in the Metrop?
For the Metrop, does head the market now at a 460 quote Egg-Tart and $8 second elect.
See, he's in a different league to Egg-Tart, and if he stays fit and he keeps progressing, like, that 460 is a total gift. Not that I'm urging you to all go out and take it, but I think from a local point, I kind of am, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
From a local point of view, anything that's here already in Australia has to beat Kingswell Dream, in my opinion. Like, yep. A sort of insight, being involved with the Spicer team and knowing what the horse has done and how he's progressing. He was still carrying a winter coat for much of that first preparation. He was unbeaten. He absolutely smacked them up at Mornington. I know it wasn't a vintage Mornington Cup field, but Harrison did go and win his next start quite cosily. The horse is a different animal this time around. He's maturing physically. He's put on weight. He looks amazing. His jump outs and pieces of work that we've seen have been another level from what he did last time around in Australia. He is the benchmark for what is here. It's a well, with the exception of a horse like Tosin Basil if he runs to his best. But then it's up to horses like Chestnut Coat, whatever Godolphin brings, to sort of reach that standard and challenge him on the day.
You agree, Dino?
Oh, well, he's going to be so well weighted and he's in the field, and he, as Shark referenced, he in the mounting out, he was lean, and his coat was the wrong way round. He's now acclimatised. You know, all those things have got to be a positive, and he can be just zeroed in on one race.
You mentioned Tosin Basil. There's an SMS here saying, can you ask Shark, how good is this Tosin Basil?
Well, he's very good. He's been internationally Group 1 placed in Hong Kong behind Highland Reel, who won about 40 billion Group 1s around the world. Look, he's an older horse. He's mature. He travels well. He loves firm ground. And the good thing about him, he's a genuine dual-purpose Cup horse. Like, he's a 2,400-metre horse, and he can run 3,200.
Is he going to run in the Caulfield Cup as well?
Oh, yeah, he's running in both. Yeah, don't worry about that. He'll be in both. He is a serious contender this year. His two runs this year, he needed the run first up behind Ganko in the Nikkei show, but it wasn't a bad effort. He just sort of peaked on his run with about 150 to go, and then he just had an awful run in the 10-0 show over 3,200, and wide back, he made a surging run around them to sit up third, and then he stayed on and finished sixth, and there weren't too many running past him. He's a genuine contender.
We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we're going to have a look at the Melbourne Cup, and we're going to get the boys' horses to follow for the spring. Their top three that you need to be backing and putting in your black book.
Your stories from racing's heartland. This is RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse as we have a look at our spring form focus. We're up to the Melbourne Cup, the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Quinny, give us the market and who have been the best backed runners in recent months.
The best backed runner in the Melbourne Cup is Magic Circle. It was $35 when markets opened. The tab's biggest liability, currently on the third line of betting now at 18. Chestnut Coat, a $15 joint favourite with Withhold. Both have been popular. Kings Will Dream, 18. Others to attract support, Ace High, 35 into 21. Cross Counter, 34 into 26. And a bet yesterday of 1,000 at 26 as well. So the money continues, but it's Magic Circle, who's looked so good in his last two wins, that has been the punter's pick at this early stage.
All right. Now, Sharky, 11 of the top 12 in betting are international horses. Chestnut Coat, Withhold, Magic Circle, Stradivarius, Marmello, Red Verdant, Cross Counter, Defoe, Kew Garden, Surrey, Tosin Basil, Best Solution, who won over the weekend. You've got to try and make this easier for us and the punters out there.
Okay, let me break it down into two areas. The Japanese, Chestnut Coat, very lightly raced, only had 17 starts. Now, my worry with him, he's not a big horse. He's only about 440, 450 kilos. And there's some suggestion that his feet may not be the best feet going around, so that's always a concern. I want to see him when he arrives and see how he prepares out at Werribee. Look, he's a similar type of horse to Tosin Basil. He's less exposed, so there's probably a little bit of room for improvement. But I think 2,500, 2,400, that's his sweet spot. Soul Impact, the other one, on the flip side, he wants every bit of 2 miles, so I wouldn't be ripping into him in anything but the Melbourne Cup if you liked him. Marmello's a standout in Europe, again, at the moment. Mm. Like, his two wins, he ran Verizabed to a neck first up. That horse places in a Gold Cup. Then he goes to York and wins easily. Longchamp wins easily. He's in the Kerguelen again this weekend. You know, if he wins or runs well in that, he's just as good as he was last year, and we didn't see the best of him at Flemington. Caulfield run was enormous. Magic Circle is the most sort of bizarre story for mine.
Corey Brander, right?
He's a six-year-old that up until April this year was just a decent handicapper. He wasn't winning. He wasn't even racing in stakes races. He was jagging the odd handicap, won 6 of 19, so there was some talent there. Marwan Kukash buys him, transferred him from Beckett to Ian Williams. He wins his first up run by 6, his next one by 6. And importantly, that form through the Henry II Stakes, through Red Verdant, stands up through the Hardwick. Red Verdant went at Royal Ascot, ran second to Crystal Ocean, and then he went and ran second to Mirage Dancer at Goodwood. So it's very good form lines, top-of-the-ground form lines. Europe this year, they haven't had a lot of rain, so Royal Ascot, Goodwood, Newmarket, they've all been run on good to firm tracks. So I think we can trust that European form through those major carnivals that were run on quick ground this year. Red Verdant, you mentioned. I think he's probably more exposed than most of these with 20-odd starts. He's a listed winner. He's multiple Group 1 placed, but they're kind of in... You know, they're not your top-shelf Group 1 races. I think Caulfield's his go. And then you're into horses like Withhold, who to me looks like Big Orange Mark 2. Like, he's a big front-running horse. Does have some acceleration, but I think he's probably overbet at this point of the game.
So who would you be looking to have a bet on now if you were going to have a crack in the early market from the internationals?
From the internationals, one that hasn't been confirmed to come, but I've just got a gut feeling that he will, is Cliffs of Moher. I think they've tried a couple of things with him. They backed him up at Ascot, which is, you know, a little unusual. Maybe they're just seeing if he can handle racing close together, which you'd need to do in Australia. He's three times Group 1 placed to 2,400. He's lightly raced, very good form lines, and he's got a really sharp turn of foot. It's a bit like Johannes Vermeer last year. To me, I think he's around the $51 mark from the internationals that are coming. You know, outside of the obvious, Marmellos, etc., Cliffs of Moher might be an interesting horse in a Melbourne Cup, Caulfield Cup.
Dino, what's your thoughts on the market for the Melbourne Cup now? Does anything pique your interest?
Not really, Michael. It's unfortunate. Well, I mean, it's made it a great race, being international, but the long-range speculative for me is out the window until they get here, and I learn a bit more about them, trying to piece it together as we go along, but not at this stage.
And what about for you, David? Do you find it hard to get a handle on them when there's so many internationals?
Oh, yeah, look, ask me something about Pearl Jam. I don't know a lot about what's happening yet. I think, look, I love an early play, but my doubles these days are Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, and that sort of setup. The Melbourne Cup is just a race that evolves much later than it used to when I was much younger.
Can I throw a question out about a horse that won on the weekend? were we impressed with Best Solution winning in Germany? Do we think that might be the form reference that could measure up for one of the cups?
Look, he's a nice horse. He's probably a Group 2 standard horse. Again, he's pretty well exposed. And I'm a little worried about the Group 1 open class form in Germany this season. You know, there's probably two or three horses that are running the placings in most of the races, and there tends to be wide margins back, so there may not be the depth this year in Germany.
He has been around the mark, though, hasn't he, with reasonable horses?
He has been.
Yeah.
What do you make of Jamar then winning the first at Flemington? Is this a horse that could progress and become a contender in the Cups?
It's a long way from Saturday, but he was still with a lot of improvement looking at him in the yard. So he's obviously a strong stayer to be able to do that with improvement to come. He reminds me a bit of an Al Moonquith standard.
Yep. All right. Hey, got some questions coming through here, boys. Dino, this is to you. Written by $12 for the Cornwall. Take it to the bank. It will not lose, Jack. What do you think about that?
Okay, well, he's been very good. He's done very little wrong. He's just got to come up and go from that 2 to 3 year old level, and we won't see a lot of him until late September, and then I think the Blue Sapphire, and then third up into the Coolmore.
Is he potentially the best 3 year old gator sprinting?
Look, he's got the score on the board, hasn't he? And I guess the query is, how has he come on, into the new season? Not only how has he come on, but how has he come on relative to the rest of his age group? As we've seen ad nauseum over a number of years, they can launch through the roof. He had a semi-busy time, though, didn't he, as a younger horse? So that'd be in the back of my mind if I was betting.
Yeah, and he had issues with barriers and things. So whether, and that's why they've given him the longer spell to bring him in later, I think, because he did have that busy time.
The thing I really love about the prep for Written By is that they're avoiding that, we won the dime, we've got a colt that could be worth a lot of money, let's go to the guineas. They've identified that sprinting is his go, so they've identified the best possible race for him to contest and potentially win, and that's the Coolmore. I think it's really smart.
Yeah, it's a great call, Mick. And what we've seen in recent years is those horses coming back from the Caulfield Guineas to the Coolmore, they're in the market, but they don't win it.
No.
Got a question for you here, Sharky, from Winkers. What's your thoughts on Red Cardinal for the Cup? He was favourite at one stage last year. He's $50, $51 now.
Need to see him again. We haven't seen him for quite some time. When was his last run? Oh, last run was the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
So, look, he's had a long break. You would assume that he was injured in that race. Yes, his form leading into last year's Cup was good until he got to the Kergolay and things didn't go well. There were some stories, I remember, from Europe last time that he had some boils, some issue with some hives or something like that in that quarantine period. So potentially that brought him unstuck a little bit last year. But yeah, look, he's a talented horse. He had good form last season. If he can reproduce that this season in Australia with, you know, a season under Darren Weir's tutelage, yeah, he could be in the mark. He is 7 years old, though.
And Sam's tweeted in, do any of the guys know anything about Homesman for the spring?
Yeah, that's really well spotted.
The wild card.
Yeah, he certainly is the wild card. I don't know what you think, Dean, but there's something about the horse that reminds me a bit of Green Moon, just that, you know, lightly raced group sort of form in Europe without being overly exposed. He's a Group 3 winner there. He's Group 1 placed in the States on firm ground. The two times we saw him in the autumn were excellent.
Yeah, it was. I mean, his Australian Cup run was terrific.
Yeah.
Off, you know, a handicap win beating El Mandan, so nothing wrong with that either. So, no, I think he's the one that I'd be very interested in. He holds a nom for the Cox Plate, so we know he's up and going. So, but as a handicapper, I think he could be a real chance.
Mm. 100-1 for the Melbourne Cup.
Ooh. That's
there's our bet.
That's overs.
It's
that's
taken overs. An hour. We've got one.
All right. Well, and that's a perfect segue because, gents, it's now time. There's been 100 SMSs saying, get the guys to give us tips for the Caulfield or Melbourne Cup. Well, I want you to give us your horses to follow for the spring. If,
yep.
If you've got a horse you like in one of the majors, throw it in. But Sharky, I'll start with you.
Miss Fabulous is a horse that I'm going to pin many, many hopes to this spring carnival starting tomorrow at Canterbury. I think she's the real deal, and I'm happy to put my money where my mouth is to find out. Toes and Basil, obviously, some involvement there. I think, you know, at his best, he could be a real life chance in both cups. And the horse we just mentioned, Homesman, you know, talk about a dark horse and something outside of the obvious, 100-1 for Melbourne Cup. You know, it is a long way away, but the horse has shown enough to suggest he's better than 100-1 shot in that race.
Dino, who are the three that at this stage you're looking to follow?
Yeah, I'm looking more at the domestic races, Michael, so for the younger horses or the shorter handicaps, so because I've got a better handle on them. But as I said, I think Grunt will win one of those Group 1s on the way to the Cox Plate. Whether he wins a Cox Plate, I doubt, but he can win a Maccabi Diva or an Underwood or something like that. I'm very interested in the path of Brutal through the spring towards maybe a Caulfield Guineas and probably a class of horse we haven't mentioned, but I think the Rupert Clark and the Turak, one of those is up for a horse called Land of Plenty who really developed through the autumn, and I think he'll fulfil his potential this spring.
Looking forward to those. And Gator?
Well, I just looked down and noticed I've got odd socks on, so I'm not sure I'm flying right at the minute. But I think I am. She excites me from a Caulfield Cup perspective, taking the line through Bonneville. She's rating, her rating through in the Oaks was terrific, so she excites me. D'Argento and Grunt, I was with them both last prep. I think there's more to come for those two rising forward. So all three of mine are four-year-olds, and it adds depth to the racing in this country, which we need.
No doubt about that. And just a quick one off the top of the head, gents. We've got the Lawrence on Saturday, which is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Having a look at the early nominations, and as I said, the early market is up for Saturday. Who are you most looking forward to seeing resume on Saturday, Gator?
Oh, look, I think good to see Dan and Liberty probably finally get to the race. So it was well back to win a Stradbroke, remember, and they didn't make the race. So the match fit Voodoo Lad might have a few of them covered, even though they may be able to turn the tables later in the season.
What about you, Dino?
Oh, well, I've mentioned Grunt for the whole spring, so I'll be watching him with great interest. And you know, as Gator said, Dan and Limity, there was such a spruik on him and the Caulfield Cup favourite, Kingsville Dream. So there's plenty to look at, not necessarily as the winning chances, but and how they step out.
Yeah, the Lawrence and the Memsey for mine, it's the horses that, you know, are hitting the line and looking like they're going to improve in the yard, and you stand back and go, wow, look at that run, and there's so much improvement to come. Kingsville Dream, Grunt, you know, they're the standouts for mine that I want to be following through from Saturday.
$1.90, I've just had a look, Miss Fabulous, tomorrow. Would you be taking $1.90?
What do you think?
you've already taken it.
I can't help myself.
Hey, Quiddy, as we say goodbye to you as well, can you leave us with a best-backed horse or a winner that is coming up for the punters out there?
No pressure. I think we might just take the $1.90 and just wait for tomorrow. But look, it's been a fascinating show. Very quickly, Nikita, we've had a text about Nikita. Any update there?
None, not to my knowledge.
Okay, no.
Pass. Not that I'm aware of.
No, okay. Someone's up.
Okay, you don't have a horse to follow.
Oh, no horse to follow. I've taken 50-1 Kingsville Dream in the Caulfield Cup. All up, Ben Battle, the place in the Cox Plate.
How much did you get Kingsville Dream?
The double pays 53.60.
Okay, so Ben Battle the place. Okay, I don't mind that. Or maybe Grunt the place even. Dino seems to be keen on that.
I like that. We'll go again.
Dino, Gator, thanks for your time. It's always great to hear from the smartest and the best in the business.
Been a pleasure, mate.
Terrific. Thanks, Michael.
And Sharky, we will continue to get your information. You've got an important day. You're going down to see Kingsville Dream today.
I am going to see Kingsville Dream and a swarm of Japanese horses at Warrnambool. So I'm glad that it's blue skies for
a lovely
drive down.
Well, I look forward to getting an update on how they are progressing on Friday with Friday Form Focus as we look at the Lawrence as well. Good luck tomorrow. Miss Fabulous and all the punters out there who are jumping on your coattails as well.
Excitement could end very quickly.
Thanks for your time, Sharky. Good on you, Quinny. We'll hear you throughout the day and I'll speak to you tomorrow with more betting updates as well. Hope you've enjoyed the program. We'll be back tomorrow from 8:30.